David Walliams fans will be excited to hear that his latest children's book, Space Boy, will be in the shops later this week. This time, David is taking us on a cosmic adventure. No doubt another bestseller on the cards. It's great to have him on the show again. Good afternoon, David Walliams.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good, and congratulations. It's book number 755.
I think so, yes. Well, saying that, I have written a lot of books, but I met Michael Morpurgo, who wrote War Horse, and he's written so many books, over 200, that no one knows for sure how many books he's written, okay? So, when he's on your show next, you can tease him about that.
Do you know how many books you've written?
Yes, this is number 36. Of course, I know how many books I've written.
Wow, 36.
Insane, yeah, I know. It's a lot, but they're not all novels. I've written picture books, where most of the hard work's done by the illustrator, thank goodness. And I've written books of short stories, and there's been a couple of charity books and different types of things. So this is, I don't know how many novels I've written, but I think it's about number 14 or something like that. But you've got to keep writing them, because these kids, I write them, and then the kids read them in a day, and then they go, when's the next one out? So, you know.
How do you feel when you meet somebody, less than a week after you've published a book, and they've read it already, and they're desperately looking for the next one?
I point them in the direction of a much better writer. There's so many brilliant people out there. And, actually, there's never been a better time, has there? Obviously, there's new books all the time, but there are so many brilliant authors out there at the moment, and books have just, I don't know, it feels like children's books are taken a bit more seriously now as well. It feels like they're kind of part of the culture in a really big way. So I think J.K. Rowling sort of changed all that. So we're all just sort of, in her
slipstream. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Space Boy is very much set in America. Is this the first of your many novels set in outside of the UK?
Let me think. I think it is, actually.
I think it is, too.
Because I've done ones in historical settings.
Yes.
And I've done ones in the future. I've done ones in the present day as well, Ray.
I've read most of them, I can tell you.
I haven't changed country before because, I don't know, I just met whatever thinking I have has just never led me there. But this one, because it's about a girl who's obsessed with space travel and about an alien crash landing kind of on the farm where she lives, I felt like the 60s America was really the right place to be because, as you know, Ray, but younger listeners might not know, but that was when it was already the height of the space race between America and Russia on who could be first into space. So I thought it sort of made sense that there was a girl there who was really, really obsessed with space travel. And so when a real-life alien comes along, it's like, a dream come true for her.
But you weren't around when the man first landed on the moon.
Well, I'd already written 17 books. I was in God's pocket.
Yes, right? The first prenatal author, David Walliams.
Yeah. I'd probably already written some. No, I wasn't. I was born in 1971. But the shadow of that was still huge, as in it was still something that everyone was really interested in and excited about. And there were more moon landings, weren't there, through the 70s?
Yes, there were. Yes.
And then the space shuttle came along at sort of the end of the 70s, the early 80s. And so that was like thrilling as well. So, and then I obviously grew up with Star Wars and Star Trek and Doctor Who and all those kind of things. So, and I loved getting out books in the library on space travel and the solar system and all that. And, when you were a kid, I don't know, were you ever in the Scouts or anything like that?
I was in the Scouts,
okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you ever sort of go on Scout camp and then you'd have those chats with your friends and go, trying to work out how space is infinite and, whether there's aliens on other planets and all that kind of thing? It's something I remember us all being really interested in.
Yes, but we always decided, I say out of fear more than anything else, that there wasn't any other intelligent life form out there.
There's very little on Earth. But so there's a hope that there might be some. You just don't know. There might be.
There might be some intelligent life elsewhere, yeah. Yeah. What do you believe?
Well, there has to be something out there, doesn't there? Mm. I mean, because it goes on forever. I mean, our solar system is just a tiny little speck of dust, in like a world out there. So there has to be something. It's interesting, we're obsessed with telling stories about aliens coming to Earth, aren't we?
We are, yes.
Yeah, if you think from War of the Worlds onwards.
But if you go onto any of the streaming services now, there's at least three or four series based on some sort of space travel, going to Mars or going to the moon or something like that.
Mm. Well, right, if there's a bandwagon, I'm jumping on it.
He's jumping on it. He's jumping on with Space Boy. In shops this week, David Walliams' 14th novel. I was talking to my son and I was telling him he's 10. I was telling him you were on today and I said, what do you want to say to him? And he says, tell him that Billionaire Boy is my favourite. I've read it five times. He's read it five times.
He's read it five times?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I feel he could be wasting his time because it doesn't change the point.
I'll tell him that.
No, but I'm glad he enjoys it. I mean, the books are designed to give kids just pleasure to read.
I think that's
where I see myself, you know, not as a... You'll be surprised, Ray, I don't see myself as a literary giant.
No. But here's this will be heartening for you, David, because I asked him, what did you get from it? What do you get from Billionaire Boy? I didn't know what I expected as an answer. He said, don't be greedy. Now, there you go. Isn't that heartwarming?
Well, it's about what's kind of important in life.
Yes.
I think I wrote it because at the time... I was kind of, when I was meeting kids, a lot of them said, what would you like to do when you're older? Be rich and famous.
Yeah.
And you sort of go, oh, what, that it? Yeah, I'll be rich and famous. Because if I'm rich and famous, that, you know, that's, everything will be fine. And so it was about sort of, you know, the things in life being more important than that.
Hmm. But here's the thing. You know from personal experience, and this is getting a little bit serious, that being rich and famous doesn't make it everything okay.
It does not, Ray. Sometimes you have to do interviews with people.
When you least want to.
You'd be amazed at the amount of press you have to do. The fame thing is a weird one, because I know it fascinates people who are not well-known, because they think it must be something really exciting, but all it is really you walk down the street and go, oh, it's that guy in it from that thing.
Yeah.
Who is it again? What's his name? That's basically the only difference. And, you know, making some money is nice because it's obviously the one less thing to worry about, isn't it? Because it is when you're worried about it, it's a really uncomfortable. It creates lots of anxiety.
I think about you often. I was swimming lengths on Saturday morning, and you swam the channel.
Wits, come on, Ray, be honest. Wits,
yeah. Were you watching? but you swam the channel and you swam the Thames and do you go back to that time in your life and, you know, quiz yourself, or were you trying to go somewhere? Were you trying to get out of your head? Were you trying to, what was the motivation? And I know ultimately you raised an awful lot of money for charity, but on a sort of individual, personal, in your head thing, what was going on?
Oh, well, I just really fancied a challenge. It really just came about. I was in Ethiopia on a trip with Comet Relief. And the head of Comet Relief at the time just said, oh, is there anything you've ever fancied doing sport-wise, you know, any challenges? I said, well, I've always quite fancied swimming the channel. And he went, you can do it next year for sport relief. That was it. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't back out of it. Right? And at one point, they sent me to see a heart specialist because I had to just check that, you know, I wasn't going to have a heart attack. You know, I didn't have any problems. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I was praying that there was a problem with my heart. I wouldn't have to do it.
Yeah.
Literally, I was so disappointed when the news came back.
You were fine.
No, but
yes.
I suppose it was just something I thought, I've never been like the fastest at anything. I'm not great on land. I'm more of a amphibious creature.
Right.
It was something, you know, I do really love swimming and I do swim all the time. And so I just thought it was something I might be able to have a go at.
Right.
And then the more I kind of got into it, the more exciting it became. And you know what? My mum gets seasickness, but she still came on the boat to watch me swimming the channel. And when we got to the other, to France, I couldn't see her anywhere. And when we got back to England, I said, oh, Mum, I didn't see you on the boat. Because I was below deck. I was throwing up for 12 hours. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have come. And she went, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. Isn't that sweet?
Isn't that lovely? So she,
I know.
It was probably
I know,
a tougher crossing for her than for you.
I don't know. It's just good to do some stuff like that in your life. I mean, loads of people do stuff, don't they? I mean, you swam a width at your pool the other day. But, you know, there's people, you know, running marathons, triathlons, and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Isn't it? And then the nice thing is, if you're well known, it kind of becomes a story and you can, you know, raise tons of cash.
Which is brilliant. How is your mum?
She's a little bit under the weather at the moment. She's got a little bit of a cold, but Strictly started, so it's not all bad news.
Right, and she's obviously a fan.
But she always complains she doesn't know anybody that's on it. She's like, every single year, but she watches that whole thing.
And would she...
What are you expecting? Anthony Hopkins?
there's a thought. And what would she encourage you to do it?
Yeah, I think she'd love if I did it, because then she'd get to go every week and watch me, but...
And you have form as well, because, you know, you were a ballroom dancer in Gangster Granny, weren't you?
Yeah, but a bad ballroom dancer, and I can't dance. And the other thing is, I'm, like, really competitive.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I'm a really bad loser.
Right.
So I just would not like to be turned into a loser.
Right.
So, to be honest with you, but it is a brilliant show, and it's a really fun show. So I like to watch it, but I'm not sure I would take part. I should have actually said, you know what, I'm so good, I'd actually join as a professional dancer. But no, I'm terrible at it. Would you do it?
No, I've been asked, and I love dancing, actually, oddly enough. That's something. I do love dancing, but just the commitment, and then the fear of failure as well would prevent me from doing it. But it's nice to be asked.
They probably don't ask George Clooney, do they?
No.
Half like the rest.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'm going to get questions from some of your fans. Here we go.
Fantastic.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, we're talking to David Walliams, and Space Boy, his new book, is in shops this week. We said on Friday that you were coming on, David, and we asked your fans to send us in voice notes and emails and stuff. So we'll start with Hannah, if you don't mind. Is that okay?
Yes, of course.
Here is Hannah.
Hello, David. My name's Hannah. I was just wondering, what's your favourite book that you've written so far? Mine would probably be The Codename Bananas. Bye.
Oh, that's nice. Favourite book I've written myself, I'd say, has to be Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. I let this lady get all the credit. I regret it now, because she's really run with it. My favourite book I've written, well, you hope that your books are getting better the more you write them, especially if you've written 36.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first book, The Boy in the Dress, will always be really special to me because it was the first one and it was pretty personal and everything. But I think Space Boy could be the most sort of fun book I've written. So I hope they're getting better. Obviously, Gangster Granny is a special one, and that one is the one that I think people know more than any others.
Mm.
But Grandpa's Great Escape, I'm quite proud of as well, because it deals with quite a serious issue, which is dementia, but it does it in hopefully a way that sort of there's still some fun and excitement. So, you know, there's something big to take away from the book, but at the same time, you can just, you know, really enjoy reading it. Yeah. That was my intention.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks for that. And you mentioned Gangster Granny, and James wants to ask you a question about that.
Hello, David. James here. My question is, do you think Gangster Granny will get left away for stealing the crown jewels with the king? Bye.
Ah, so now we have a king.
Yes.
Do we think he would lock Granny away? I think he probably would have him locked away.
It's a different kettle of fish. You did meet the queen on a number of occasions.
I did meet the queen.
Yeah.
She was sweet. I always thought she did a good job, but that's, you know, it's a very strange job to be given, isn't it? You know, as a child. Oh, by the way, you know, you're going to be Queen of England. Oh, okay. They didn't ever ask me. It's strange. I never got the call. She was just, you know, she put you at your ease and you chatted to her. There's one thing you weren't meant to ask her a question, which I kind of got, because if you ask her a question, you put her on the spot, you know. Was she like being queen or whatever? Because I hosted the Royal Variety performance, and there was all these people on the bill, you know, Neil Diamond, One Direction, Rod Stewart, basically people. And you know, at the end, a natural question would have been, oh, was there, you know, who was your favourite act? But you can't ask that because I guess she wouldn't want to say, oh, I really like Neil Diamond and I thought One Direction was terrible. you make this very sort of, you know, this small talk where you kind of go, oh, thanks for coming. And, you know, that was about all I could think of saying.
I was talking to my mum over the weekend and she was saying she felt that she must have had an aura about her, you know, when she came into a room, that there was something different about her.
Oh, no, she did. She did. And you know what? I mean, just getting to a serious point, you know, when she came to Ireland and she went to the memorial and she met the Sinn Féin leaders and everything like that, you know, the symbolic power that she had to do something good like that.
Yeah.
I thought, well, credit to her, because, you know, not everyone wanted her to be there. But I did think it was quite
no, it was, and it's been talked about.
And I thought, good for her. You know, she's trying to move forward. She's trying to do some good. And, you know, she was an old lady at that point, right? Probably in her 80s or something like
that. She was, yeah. It was 2011, yeah. Right, Dara is from Dublin. He's age 10. David, here we go.
Hi, David. I read all your books and they are great. My question is, why is Raj in most of your books? Thanks, Dara from Dublin, age 10.
There you go.
Why is because I'm too lazy to come up with any new characters. No, I think I used Raj because I put him in my first book, Boy in the Dress, and he was a very useful character because he was like a grown-up, but he wasn't a teacher, he wasn't a parent, he was like a kind of more fun, he was like a friend to the kids. And then I sort of wanted to use him in the next book, and I thought, okay, well, maybe he's like a kind of lucky mascot going through all my books. But also, the nice thing is, he kind of connects the books in a way. So it's as if all these different stories, all these different adventures were happening somehow in the same town, you know? Mm. And it's like the kid, so it's rather nice, you know, because a lot of people write series of books, don't they? You know, Harry Potter books. But it somehow it makes them
connected.
I don't know, a set or yes, something. Yes. I don't quite know why. But it's just a fun character to write for.
And did I read somewhere that he's based on a true life person?
Yeah, I did have he wasn't my personal news agent, but he was the news agent who was nearest to me, and he had a famously messy shop, and it was Raj's news, and we always had a laugh together whenever I walked into the shop, and so he was the inspiration for it. But the last, and I sort of moved, and then the last I heard was he'd actually moved to India. He was originally from India, and he moved back. So
there you go.
So I don't know if he knows what's been unleashed upon the world.
Yeah. Tomás, we've just a couple more, David. Tomás is from Westmeath. He has a question about Raj as well.
Hi, David. My name is Tomás Maxwell-Duggan and I go to Emperor National School in County Westmeath. And my questions are, how much sweets does Raj have in all of your books and all the books he was in? And how much words do you have in all of your books altogether?
Tomás likes numbers.
Okay, how many words in all my books? Are you good at maths, Ray, or have you got a calculator handy?
I have a calculator handy, actually, yes.
Okay,
yes, here we go.
So let's say there's 36 books.
36 books, okay.
And let's say the average number of words in each book, because some books are like 50,000 words, some books are sort of 1,000 words pictures. Let's say the average is 20,000 words.
Okay, here we go.
So what's 20
thousand,
times?
Yeah.
Yeah, can you do that?
720,000 words, David Williams.
And there you go.
And Tomás from Westmeath. There's your answer. 720,000.
That's a lot of words,
yes,
isn't it? I mean,
yes.
A lot of these words are the same, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of verbs, man. But it's a lot of words.
It's a lot of words. The number of sweets that Raj has, that's an impossible question, is it?
He has a shop full of sweets.
A shop full.
Don't you love sweets? Aren't they wonderful? I love Pick and Mix. I went to the cinema yesterday with my son and we got Pick and Mix.
What did you go to see?
We went to see the re-release of Avatar, the first Avatar
movie. Oh, yes, yes.
Because he's 9, so he didn't get to see it at the cinema first time around. And I thought, actually, I really like going to cinema with him because I love going to cinema. I think it's the best place to see movies if you get the opportunity. Mm. And anyway, so...
Was it a bit scary for him? No? Yeah?
I think not too bad. It's a 12A. Thank you for, you know, there's no need to call social services. I think he was fine, thank you.
Listen,
we've got The Exorcist, some aliens, blue people, some giant smurfs flying around, right?
Spaceboy features the President of the United States of America, who happens to be orange, I think, with fake tan or whatever, and has a toupee. So there's an obvious reference there to
Barack Obama. No, there was a little, actually, I kind of made him up, but I guess Donald Trump is definitely the worst president that America had ever had. And so he was in a strange way, I kind of miss him, because every day you'd wake up, you'd put on the news and go, what has he done now? Didn't he? And it was, and as much as it wound you up, it was actually kind of compelling. You just couldn't believe that this person was in charge. So I'm glad he's not in charge anymore, but I slightly missed sort of. It was weird, wasn't it? He was like the main story, like every day for about 5 years.
Yeah, he was. And it was impossible to lampoon him. You know, he was unlampoonable because some of the stuff he came out with was so out of this world. And the thing, I suppose, that attracts your readers to your many books is the fact that adults oftentimes are, you know, they're portrayed as quite stupid.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, when you're a kid, you definitely think that, don't you? And you definitely think that, you know better than grown-ups on lots of things. And so, you want to reflect that. But I think children's books, it's all about empowering the child, isn't it? The child in the story. It's about empowering them in some way to do something, to, you know, to have an adventure on their own or something like that. So people often ask me about, why are the grown up this, or why are the mums and dads in your book sometimes like useless and stuff? Like, because you know, if they were like really sensible characters, the kids wouldn't go off and have their adventures on their own. There's one phrase I've heard used, is like writing a children's book, kill off the parents in the first chapter, you know, which is what J.K. Rowling does with Harry Potter, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
Narnia, all those ones.
They're just not around, are they? So that's not how I'd like the world to be, but it's just the way it is.
So we'll finish off with Fionn Corcoran from Cantorque in County Cork. He's 11. He would be delighted if I would ask you a question. He had two questions, so he said, I'll let David decide which one he would rather answer. My first question, when was the last time you Googled yourself and what did you find out? Question one.
I don't need to Google myself, thank you very much, because I have a Google alert.
Oh, look at you! Is that a good idea?
No.
No.
It's a terrible idea.
Yes.
Right. Whatever you do, don't search your name.
I'm not going.
Me, the bile. I mean, I thought you were reasonably popular, but read the comments. Right. The comments. Don't read the comments. They're vicious.
If you could...
some of the fan fiction about you, Ray, is really quite disturbing as well.
If you could spend a day with another famous author, who would it be?
I suppose Roald Dahl, although I would say he was quite brusque with people. I don't think he'd have had much time for me. But I sort of admire his genius.
Now, will you say hello to Fionn's? This is your final task today. Say hello to Fionn's school. He said, will you help David with the pronunciation, please? Skull Nave Podrick. Skull Nave Podrick. Say skull like your skull, and then nave like N-A-V-E, and then Podrick. That'll get you.
Skull Nave Podrick.
Very good.
What does it mean?
It means the school of St. Patrick. Skull Nave Podrick.
Well, hello to everyone there.
In Skull Nave
Podrick. I do love my trips to Ireland, actually.
Yeah, well, you...
And I was here for a while. I did a play in Dublin.
I remember, because you kindly came up to us and we did a show from a caravan on the top of a hotel.
That caravan.
Yes, and we had...
The glamour of it. I couldn't quite believe, you know, the glamorous situation in which you were.
You've obviously fond memories of that. Okay, David.
You know what? It was one of the greatest moments of my life.
Yes.
In the caravan. You know?
David.
Still think about that. People say, when were you happiest? And I say, it was, I was in a caravan with Ray Darcy in it. I don't know what it was. I just felt kind of inner peace.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Lovely
talking to you. Yeah, mind yourself.
Love to the caravan.
Yes, see you. Thanks, David. Bye now. Bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.